William Morrow and Harper Audio present Marmee, a novel by Sarah Miller. Performed by Kirsten Potter. A note before we begin. For a selected bibliography, be sure to download the accompanying enhancement PDF from your audiobook provider or go directly to www.harpercollins.com/pages/Marmee. To Mom and Dad.
You have not lived today until you have done something for someone who can never repay you. John Bunyan. Heart First. December 24th, 1861. All day long, Amos's letter waited in my pocket, the most perfect of Christmas gifts. If not for Isabel Carter, I might have stolen a peek. But the Carter boy, missing since the Battle of Ball's Bluff, is reported fallen today. The strands of hope, stretched so bravely across these last 8 weeks, are cut. Thin as those threads had become, the severance is no less abrupt than if the news had come the very morning after the battle. How bravely Mrs. Carter carried on with her duty after the telegram came. It wrung my heart to see the tender way she packed the Christmas boxes, as if each article of comfort was her own boy, being gently laid to sleep. 19 years old. Drowned in retreating across the Potomac, his body swept downstream into an abandoned canal at Goose Creek. How it sickens me to think of that bright boy floating there all this time with the minnows feasting on a mind worthy of Harvard. If not for the engraving on his school ring, his family would never have known his fate. For myself, I can only be thankful that the families who receive the boxes I filled after the news arrived will not perceive the fury that vibrated in the hands that packed them. It is not the first time my mind has railed at the folly of that battle. 1,002 men, killed, wounded, or captured, raiding a Confederate camp that did not exist. Noah Carter's was no kind of sacrifice, only a waste. What pride is there for his family in such a death? We delude ourselves, I suppose, if we imagine all our brave boys dying valiantly on the field. Perhaps their true courage is not in being willing to fight, but in their willingness to face the likelihood of such an ignominious end. Which is harsher, I wonder, to lose a son this way in the prime of youth, or as I did, before he ever drew breath? I think of that beautiful, stillborn infant with his blue-gray skin and deep red lips, and wonder, had he lived, would he be fighting now? I doubt if I would possess the strength to endure sending both a husband and a son off to war. With Mrs. Carter grieving silently beside me, I did not dare pull my husband's letter out of my pocket, nor even reach in to touch it. On the way to the relief rooms, I had only the time to look at the date, to know when he was last safe, and to see the salutation that brought a happy lump to my throat. My dear, sturdy Peg. It is more than 4 months now since I have heard his voice calling me Peg. No one but Amos uses that name. Always reaching out, he says, sturdy as a peg, to help. It is such a balm to ease the burdens of a fellow being. That is what I must remember. That, and Amos's fingertip poised at his lips when he sees my anger rising up to overtake me. For Mrs. Carter's sake, I redoubled my efforts. With her zeal fueled by sorrow and mine by sympathy, we finished all the boxes in time. Work soothes more than words. The sound of my girl's merriment reached me before my hand touched the front door latch. What a wealth I have in daughters! They are a richness and a comfort beyond measure. Sometimes I think it is the way they flutter around me each night that renews my vigor to return to the relief rooms each day. Cold, sickness, hunger, and deprivation, all of it accompanied by some mix of shame and indignity, anger and bitterness, dominate my daylight hours. To be pampered so.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?